Welcome to Expounded Universe, Season 8, Episode 3, Bone Storm. The book, Star Trek, Planet X, X-Men, it's a mess. It's a mess of a title. Sir, chapters 6 through 8, with your hosts, Jeff and John. Let's go. Sir, it's a mess.
A person who would stick his dick through a hole in a shower wall has no honor.
That's what I do. I press the button that says cloak.
Such is my distaste for Cyclops.
Anyone sees you fucking this statue, they know you want to fuck.
And welcome back to Expounded Universe, the Star Trek X-Men novel discussion podcast.
Hey.
For now.
You know what's amazing? Episode 100.
Oh, this is episode 100. You're right. We should do something special.
Yeah.
Why don't we pause it right now and go get a tasty slice of apple bread?
Have some apple bread. Fuck this podcast forever.
I have been baking hard cider apple bread all day because of a mishap.
You thought you were baking.
I know. There was a stove mishap. I don't know what happened, but now it's done. It's sitting in there cooling, and I want it so much more than I want to do this.
That's the carrot on the end of this stick that we got here.
It is so good. It's going to be so good. It's got Strongbow Artisanal in there. It's got two tasty Honeycrisp apples.
Yeah, sitting there whole inside of it.
Yeah, I just baked them in like eggs into a meatloaf.
They're sitting in there, just a surprise little scotch egg going on.
If you find the apple, you get $4. It's a tradition.
This is mostly an apple. You get $4.
I don't have $4 though, so you know I owe you.
I owe you one apple. What could an apple cost? $4?
That sounds about right. You ever check the exchange rates? It's nuts. Anyway, congratulations on 100 episodes of Expounded Universe.
Yes, congratulations to us.
Yeah,
I was doing this for 100 episodes.
You. I'm not going to congratulate myself. I don't have an ego, but John.
Congratulations to me.
Congratulations to you on 100 episodes.
And also congratulations to me on 100 episodes.
It's all you. It's been you all along.
That's right. It was me, Austin. It was me all along.
I was the turkey all along.
And other references.
And here's to 100 more episodes of this.
You know, all this.
So this isn't a special one. We're just hitting a milestone and we'll keep on going.
Yeah, we weren't exactly like, oh, let's stop in the middle of a book and do something.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense. Maybe we'll do a milestone thing at the end of it. I don't know.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. I want some apple bread. Let's get pushing.
Hey, let's just do a quick 20-minute episode. Let's wrap it up. Hey, all right, some stuff happens and we're out of here.
I don't know, Storm dies, whatever.
Spoiler alert.
Check in.
Storm's dead.
Check in next week for a series of apologies about what we got wrong. Okay, so the episode does open up with some Storm stuff because chapter 6 opens on Smash Cut.
On Smash Mouth.
On Smash Mouth performing their hit song, Walking on the Sun.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Not All-Star.
Not All-Star. No. I like the
that
early.
Would be gauche.
I'm a bit more of an early Smash Mouth guy.
I mean, I'm more of a Smash Mouth's cover of Why Can't We Be Friends?
I mean, that's a great thing on the basketball soundtrack. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, to be fair, I owned the album Fush You Mang.
Oh, okay. That's different. I had the basketball soundtrack, which had that and the Real Big Fish beer on it.
Oh, see, those are both great.
Yeah.
But I had the actual Smash Mouth album.
I never.
And saw them in concert.
Ooh, rough.
Ooh, I mean, it was at the fair, to be fair.
I don't know that I've ever seen a concert that I would now be embarrassed. Oh, no, wait, yes, you and I together. Okay, one embarrassing concert.
I've been to that. I saw Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of nonsense that I would not normally have gone to see.
I have seen three bands 5 times each. And I did all that before I turned 30 because at that point I was like, fuck concerts.
Fuck going to see bands.
But
I've got a way to play music.
But I saw 5 Metallica shows, 5 Tom Petty and the Heartbreaker shows.
5 John Mayer shows.
And the fifth one's the Aquabats.
I've only been able to see them once, but I was so happy I was. I mean, sad that I didn't get to see them back when they had horns, but, you know, it's fine.
I saw the horn section, I think, twice, and then 3 times without.
Mm.
But, you know, they still put on a hell of a show without the horn section. It's completely worth it. So yeah,
they have the most polite mosh pit that's ever existed.
Now, for, as to the question of that embarrassing concert, well, you'll just have to stick around for the bonus content, won't you? No, you won't. It was Hinder and
It was 3 Days Grace, Hinder, Papa Roach, and Nickelback.
There it is.
Nickelback headlining, of course.
Oh my God. And we walked out about halfway through the first Nickelback song.
No, I think we made it to the second one, right? Because they played one song, and then they started doing Photograph, we were like, I'm good.
Yeah, we're good. Because they had like a slideshow of themselves as kids. And also, Chad Kroeger, or whatever his name is, from Nickelback.
Hey, San Diego, I like to smoke marijuana. And I'm like, oh, God, do not pander.
Where can I go surfing? Bros, how do you do, fellow kids?
Yeah, it was real rough
that we didn't leave during a Hinder show.
Dude, Hinder put on a great fucking show. I'm not gonna lie, I had only heard one of their songs before, and I was like, these guys are not bad.
So anyway, that's the one concert to which we can both agree to be a little embarrassed about.
So, Storm...
Storm and Professor X are going to have a little sit-down.
You mean Picard.
Professor Picard.
Professor Card.
Professor... yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Picard and Storm are going to have a little sit-down.
Yes. I was honestly really waiting for Storm to be like, you know, you look a lot like Professor X.
I feel like this book must pre... Because it's... I wonder if it does. I wonder if this book predates the movie. We have yet to announce this book's date.
That's true. I don't know what this book's date is. I'm going to look it up right now.
Well, the movie is 2000.
Ooh, it came out before that. It's 98.
Well, there you have it then.
Yeah.
So that means that they don't know yet. Although Patrick Stewart is an ideal Professor X.
They had been saying Patrick Stewart since I was in like fifth grade.
I mean, to be fair, since you were in fifth grade, they were also saying that it should be what's-his-face for...
Dolph Lundgren is Colossus, of course.
No, that's the easy one. what's his name? The singer as Wolverine. He's the short little singer. The mother.
The short little.
Yeah, he's
singer.
The short little guy. He's
Ronnie James Dio.
No, it was who sings Mother? That guy.
Oh,
Danzig.
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 I almost said Dawkins.
Wizard magazine back in the 90s was like fucking Danzig for Wolverine. Yeah,
dude, I loved Wizard's Dreamcast for movies, and that. The weird thing is, at least a couple times, they were spot on.
That is not spot on, though.
But man, sometimes they were just like, how about this dumb bullshit? And you're like, what?
I don't think that guy can act, though. I mean, he's a professional singer.
Hey.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Put him in a Wolverine costume and have him say bub.
Let him say bub.
Anyway, Picard and Storm are going to sit down and discuss the situation. We begin with a ritualistic offering of tea.
Indeed.
Storm would prefer an herbal blend, please. And in one of the problems that's common with these fan feeling kind of books, we get like way too much description about tea.
Like, oh, well, it had cherry blossom and orange zest.
And rose hips and blackberry leaf.
You're like, oh. Okay.
All right. It was a cup of tea then. Thanks for letting me know.
Great. He gave Storm some tea.
And of
course, will it be commented on? Never.
And of course, we here on the Enterprise can have any sort of tea we wish because of the replicators. That's just, all right. We get it. You know, we know.
We're here on the Enterprise.
So, yeah, she takes a nice cup of herbal tea, and he, of course, gets tea Earl Grey hot.
Yeah.
And just
she
so
gets a nice cuppa.
Yeah, he has to say the whole line. So he says, tea, Earl Grey hot. Shut up, Wesley. And then he...
Engage.
I just don't get to say that one as often.
Number
as...
one. He just went through all of his things at once.
What the devil?
I mean... When last episode, I don't think I mentioned it, but there is a point where they describe him doing the Picard maneuver, where he just like tugs his shirt down.
Which means that they put him back in a costume that doesn't fit. Because remember, by season 5 of the show, they had given him a shirt, pants, and a jacket. And they're like, ah, yes, it's the captain's outfit. Instead of, I'm not wearing that jumpsuit again. You can't make me.
Well, I mean, he was basically in it for the movie to win it, and they're in those costumes.
Yeah, okay. So we learn some interesting details over the course of this conversation. First of all, they're going to spend some time kind of obliquely hitting on each other, which is straight up weird.
Yeah, there's a lot of like Picard going like, ooh, I accidentally said something flirty. Oh my. Oh.
I would give anything to know what she thinks of what I said. That's just a lot of that.
Oh, if only she could see my penis.
They'll call it the Rika maneuver.
Going right over this chair.
Just flopping it over the top of the chair.
That the Riker maneuver is a thing.
It's a couple of things. In acting terms, it's him stepping over the chair because sitting down messed up his outfit otherwise. And in, I believe, the Nemesis movie or whichever one it is that's basically just them hanging out with the Baku people on planet old sexy folk. He does some fancy piloting with a fucking joystick, and Geordi has to say, if this goes through, they'll call it the Riker maneuver.
It didn't, though. No one called it that.
So, anyway, we also learned some important details. We discussed the previous circumstances in which the TNG crew met the X-Men, which was battling Kang and, like, Sentinel Borgs.
Yep.
But we also learned that it's been about a year since this happened for the Enterprise crew.
Yeah, so they all had devices they stole from Kang the Conqueror, which are time hooks, and that was going to allow them to go to their, essentially, dimension and timeline.
Yes.
But while it worked for the Enterprise, and they just went pretty much right back where they were, and it's been a year, the X-Men just popped out here. Like, when we saw them on Starbase 88, that was them immediately trying to use it to go home. So it has been zero time for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the X-Men, it's been about a day and a half, and they're like, oh, Storm's just excited to see Picard again because, well, sort of. She's also kind of worried because now their time hooks aren't just broken, they're gone.
Yeah, when they showed up here, the time hooks were just missing.
Yeah.
They're like, I don't know what happened, but our time hooks are gone. We have no way of getting back. Do you still have yours?
Yeah, and he says, well, we did have our time hook we used to return home, but we've turned it over to the Starbase or whatever for
Starfleet
analysis.
Starfleet High Command, and then that shit got fucked up, so...
I don't remember which he was saying, what thing fucked up Starfleet High Command that he was referring to.
Yeah, I don't know what
there's a
thing
lot
he was
of,
talking about.
There's a lot of official episode and movie reference drops over the course of this conversation. There's a point, for example, during the flirtier parts of the conversation, there's a point where she notices the flute on his desk.
Yes.
Because he still has that, what is that, Rikaran or whatever flute on his desk, which is from an episode where he spends 25 minutes living out another guy's entire life, and at the end he still has the flute, and now he knows how to play it.
Yeah.
And then she's like, he has to say, oh yes, my flute. I used to have a certain, let's say, friend with whom I would perform duets.
In the vagina.
That's Lieutenant Commander, I think, Darren.
Data?
Darren, it was Lieutenant Commander Data.
Hey, he is fully functional.
Very well, sir. Her name is Naren or Laren or Darren. I forget which one. It's been a long time since I saw that episode. It's probably not Laren, because that's a different character.
Denny's?
But there was this woman who, like, he would play, like, actual duets with and did date, but then by the end of the episode, she was like, I feel like our relationship's too strong. I have to leave the ship, you know, because this isn't an episodic show.
And also, you know, you're my commanding officer, so this probably isn't a good idea.
Well, it's not unprecedented in Starfleet for married couples to fly around together, but
yeah, but they weren't married.
Oh, no, they were just dating. But they would have been eventually. Picard's a Christian man.
A good Christian man is Picard.
We also get a mention when he's asking Storm about her life, and she's like, oh, my parents died when I was very young. And he's
it was
like, oh,
very sad.
Yeah, and he's like, I understand death. My brother and nephew recently perished in a fire. That one took me some remembering, because I only remembered the episode where he meets his weird brother and nephew, whose brother's one of those pompous landowning effete types who's like, never bring a replicator on my property. I will only eat food that my wife slaves over.
Great.
They died off screen and were mentioned.
They died as they lived
off screen. And were mentioned in the movie Star Trek Generations.
Great.
Yeah. So that was That took me a while to remember what the fuck he was talking about.
Yeah, there's a lot of nonsense. This, especially this conversation,
yeah,
is like the two of them referencing comic and episode things between the two of them, mm-hmm, and giving no context.
Yeah. My favorite thing about Star Trek Generations is it's happening in the same year that, like, Sisko gets promoted to captain. And they don't mention it on DS9. DS9 just kind of lets all that weird shit with the center of the universe and time crises and Pavel Chekhov showing up. It just passes. They're like, whatever, we got Cardassian stuff.
Look, I... Don't fuck with me and my shit right now. If you tell me one more thing the Enterprise has done, I swear to God. So help me.
Okay, so we also, yeah, we learned that he had a girlfriend at one point, which he has to handle as delicately as possible for a extremely self-assured and confident 55-year-old man. But he still has to be like, yes, at one point I did have a friend.
She had what I need, but she said she's just a friend.
And I was like, come on, man, you've dated more people than that. I mean, if this is the timeline it is, you're also on your way to marrying and then separating from Beverly Crusher. You dated Vash. There's been a list. You dated a lot of people. It's okay.
There's a whole group of people that you have banged.
Yeah.
It's fine if you're like, yo, I've been known to play.
Yeah. And she's like,
please only hate the game.
Yeah, and she's like, well, I also have known love, and then just leaves it at that. And we're like, all right, okay, fine. Which one are you talking about? Is it Forge, Black Panther? Where are we going?
Who are we talking about here?
Yeah.
So they are sort of uncertain about the whole time hook thing as far as, can we actually get this back?
Yeah. But he's like, well, don't worry, because obviously I'm just going to have Geordi figure it out. I'll be like, Geordi, we need to send these guys to another dimension. And he'll be like, yes, Captain. It's fine. Particles.
The big thing with this is like, I got to go to some fucking conference thing with the Klingons. But we're going to have, one, Dr. Crusher check all of you out just to make sure that your shit's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And two, we're going to have Geordi go over your nonsense and try and figure out what the fuck happened to you.
Yes. And with that, they're about ready to part. But she says something. She's like, Captain, there's one thing I've been thinking, and I can't say it. And then she leaves. And it ends with, and he would give anything to know what she said. Or what she refused to say, rather.
Sigh.
Yeah.
Oh, leaders seldom enjoy stable relationships, but... No, I mustn't. Oh, God damn it. You motherfuckers.
I love that they've decided to set up Storm and Picard. It's the weirdest combination.
Yeah, you wouldn't really think of that as a pairing.
No.
But they're like, well, we got to have everyone on the ship have someone else that they can dick around with.
Yeah, and it leaves me very, very frightened, and I'll tell you why. Because no one has mentioned what's going on with two characters in particular over the course of these three chapters. And those, of course, are William Riker and Shadow Cat.
Why don't you have a seat right over here? Hi, I'm Chris Hansen.
I'm Chris Space Hansen. I'm Q.
God damn it.
I'm Q Hansen.
I'm here to judge you.
Anyway, yeah, that's what's going on. Then I guess we check in with Arid.
Yeah, pretty much the entire next chapter is a Arid chapter.
Yes, and there's two things that happen. There are two sets of Arid events over the course of this. Yeah. The first one...
One happens now, and the next one is next chapter.
Yes. The one that happens now is that Arid is hanging around in his quarters... And he is mentally contacted by a guy named...
No, they're outside.
Oh, he's outside? Okay. But he is mentally contacted by a guy named... I think it's Paldul.
Paldul, yeah.
Yeah, Paldul. Paldul turns out to have the power of mental contacting.
Yeah, well, we knew that. We knew the dude with the craters in his head.
Yeah, he has cheese head, and he can or moon head, and he can communicate with people.
He's got that moon face.
It turns out that he has rapidly associated his powers. Like, he's developed very quickly. At first, he basically had Deanna Troi's abilities... Like, full stop. But now he's like, oh, no, I can reach right into minds and carry on conversations across distances.
He's like, oh, when I first got my powers, I couldn't stop hearing everyone's thoughts, and it was super fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
But it took me about a couple days, and then I was fine.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, you got over that quick.
Yeah, this dude's rad. Meanwhile, Arid is like, I have barely...
What a piece of shit am I then?
I mean, in Arid's defense, it's very hard for him to practice his powers in a situation where he's not supposed to be using them at all.
Well, yeah, because the problem is, he's like, oh, I'm like... solar powered, but I can't practice containing myself in the sun, because the second I go out there and start shooting laser beams, they are going to laser beam me.
Yeah, so all he can do is sit around in his room at night and fire tiny energy beams to practice.
Same.
Male energy beams. But yeah, he isn't as practiced, and he feels a little, almost a little ashamed about it at the moment when he's talking to Paul Dool. But he's like, yeah, you know, in my defense, it's not my fault. My powers are crazy.
Yeah, and I got dumb bullshit. At least you've got something cool you can do.
Mm-hmm. But he drops an interesting hint while he's having the... Paul Dool does, while the conversation's going on, which is that Rahatan has a plan. And Rahatan's the guy that... He's the guy who's going to do something cool, but we haven't seen him do it yet.
We haven't seen him do it.
Yeah. And he's basically the Magneto of the planet Jaldea.
Yeah, I mean, last episode when he showed up, it was like, ooh, he's sexy and charismatic, and he doesn't want to do what the guards say.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, okay, great, sure, yeah. You're going to be the troublemaker.
Yeah.
But the other thing we find out, though, is Paul Dool has talked to pretty much everyone in this prison so far.
Yeah, except for one guy.
Well, he's... been inside the brain of one guy who's like, I'm not going to talk to him. Moloch is insane.
He's insane. His power is that he can set fire to things he's looking at.
Yeah, he apparently just has combustive powers. Like, yeah, he can see whatever he's looking at, he can be like, and fire.
Yes. But he's completely insane. He was a mental patient before he developed his mutation powers.
Yeah.
So, but he's just, you know, that Star Trek insane where it's just a generic... You know, that guy's crazy. Done.
Well, I mean, it is any media property insane, which is, what is this? Oh, he's in a straitjacket and is going,
I know who the Batman is.
Yeah.
I am. I'm the Batman.
What? What are you talking about?
It's me, Austin. I was the Batman all along. Oh, why doesn't WWE just drop $1 billion and buy rights to Batman and make that the only Batman thing worth watching?
Just all of these Batman villain themed and Batman hero themed wrestlers just going out.
It's the only character they buy. They just have Batman. That's it.
Batman versus Roman Reigns. What? Which is great, because one of Roman Reigns' signature moves is the Superman punch. So,
oh, the Dudley boys need someone to fight, and here comes the brand new Batman.
Good Lord.
It's the brand new day, but they're Batmans.
It's the brand new bat day.
That's the brand new bat day. Sorry. Anyway, I think that's all that this chapter has for him, right?
Well,
he just has this little conversation.
It's basically we get the confrontation in this one. So,
oh yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah. So they're supposed to go inside, essentially when the shadows hit the top of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Normally they're allowed out just for the day, but as soon as it gets dark, they have to go inside.
Mm-hmm.
And Arid pretty much just keeps track of time because he doesn't have any other way of doing it by the shadows.
Yes.
So he's like, oh, essentially once they get up to wall level, that's usually when the guards are like, all right, everybody get the fuck inside. You can have your last meal and then go to your room.
Mm-hmm.
But today...
That will not do.
Today is a very special day.
Today's the day they're going to rise up.
Today's the day they go to Taco Bell. jokes for justice.
So when the call is made by the guards for everyone to go inside for last meal, as they call it, Rahatan stands firm and says, no, we don't want to.
Fuck you. This is ridiculous. It's still light out. We should be allowed to be outside.
Yeah. What are you doing? This is too much control over us. Just let us hang out in the yard. And the guards are like, no, we have to follow orders. You have to go on the thing. And he's like, I don't think you're going to stop me if I don't do that.
Yeah, he's like, why don't you eat my entire asshole?
No, it's Thursday. We only eat one third of your asshole on Thursdays.
It's Friday. I eat ass.
That's a good gag. Okay, so the guard, you know, is basically like, no, you have to go inside. You have to. And he's like, I'm not gonna. We're not going inside. Yeah. Who's with me kind of stuff, you know?
And, you know, the guard's like, don't make me do this. And he's like, I'm not making you do anything. Mm-hmm. This is your choice, but I'm not moving.
Yeah, I'm not going to go inside. And then everyone starts to notice a seismic rumbling. And it turns out that Rahatan's power is basically telekinesis in general.
Yeah, I do love the leave us alone and there won't be any trouble. Trouble, is that a threat? A force of nature doesn't threaten. It acts without warning. And then he just starts doing some telekinetic rumble walls.
Yeah, he's Space Magneto. I mean, it's very clearly just some Magneto-style dialogue.
Yeah. So he starts just a-shaking the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, fucking all of the guards are like, well, fuck this dude.
Yeah. Because the thing is, the guards aren't ready to deal. This is an interesting thing about the book. For as boring and stolid as the TNG and X-Men parts have been so far, they've written this prison very efficiently, where none of these Zhaldians that don't have mutant powers are like ruthless bad guys or anything. They're just just as much in a horrible situation as the people they're guarding.
Yeah, and they're like, what? Oh, it's him. He's the one doing it. And you can tell that this is his plan because he's like, what if I am the one doing it? And just sort of standing out in the open like, please shoot me. I want to be a martyr.
Yeah, and indeed they do. They tase him and he falls over, very tased, and goes into convulsions.
And he's like, don't tase me, bro.
Yeah. I mean, technically, they don't tase him. They stun him with weapons set on stun.
Yes.
But he goes into a paroxysm, and then he falls over completely stunned and taken out. And this is enough. He catalysts and he martyrs, and everything happens the way he was hoping it would. And some dude with super strength goes rushing at the wall towards where the guard is stationed.
We have Layden and Dinara. And Layden is super strength,
mm-hmm.
and Dinara apparently has force field powers.
Yes, good force field powers. She has, like, Sue Storm-style force field powers. Yeah,
they thought, she can only, like, do it around herself,
mm-hmm.
but it turns out when Layden starts basically punching handholds into the wall and climbing up, she can extend her force field to someone else.
Yes.
So she's protecting Layden as he tries to climb up the wall towards the guards.
So he's punching his way up the wall, and they start firing stun beams at him, but they're ricocheting off of Dinara's protection beams. And after a while, she's not strong enough to just keep doing it forever. The stun beams break through, stun Layden, and he collapses to the ground.
Yeah, and even though it's more powerful on her, she still can't hold out a force field forever against a ton of dudes shooting laser beams at her.
Mm.
So it does eventually overwhelm her personal force field and zap her as well.
Yeah. And then that's the kind of the levee breaking here. It doesn't create a riot, but this is when everyone backs down.
Well, yeah, at that point, like, no one else is fighting against them, but like everyone in the yard is going, Oh, fuck these guys.
Yeah. This is kind of the moment, but they all shuffle quietly to last meal and then go to their rooms.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the end of this chapter. But the next chapter kicks right back off with Arid in his room.
Nope.
Yes, it does.
I mean, you're wrong, but that's fine.
I'm sorry. Have we already described all of Chapter 7?
Chapter 7 is just Arid.
Yeah, because Chapter 7 is like a page and a half long. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Chapter 8,
although Chapter 7 is probably the best shit that happens in these three chapters.
Well, yeah, and we'll talk about why in a second here, but Chapter 8 opens up with Beverly examining Colossus on a bio bed, and also Nightcrawler's in there.
And also Nightcrawler's here, and Geordi shows up.
And then Geordi walks in, yeah. And Nightcrawler is so accommodating.
No. Well, I mean,
he normally is. This isn't weird. This isn't bad characterization.
No, Nightcrawler is gregarious and nice, and as soon as Geordi shows up and he's like, hey, I want to test your powers, he's like, great, fucking let's do it. I'm on board for anything you want.
Yeah. I'm sure that Nightcrawler is mostly just absolutely thrilled to be in a culture where no one's mad at him for being a mutant.
Oh, yeah. He shows up and everyone's just like, hey, you're rad and your stuff is cool and we like you. And he's like, man, this is amazing. No one gives a fuck.
Yeah. So he's excited. Geordi immediately senses out. He's like, oh, this guy's the fun guy of the group. I love those guys.
Oh, finally. The person in this group that isn't just stoic or an asshole.
He's the guy I would like to be if I wasn't such a nebbish twerp.
But the first thing he does is he's like, Oh, I want to try and figure out if your teleportation power works the same way as our...
Like warp systems.
No, our teleportation...
Oh, yeah, transmitters, right.
Yeah, if our transport works the same way, so like... Is it similar?
And it's a dumb question.
Nightcrawler knows exactly how his shit works, and he's like, all right, how does a transporter work?
Yeah, that's the thing. It was a dumb question in the first place, because Nightcrawler has to be like, I don't know what a transporter is.
Yeah, every time in this chapter, Geordi's like, well, it could be science babble. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, but he's like, all right, well, I'm game. Tell me how transporters work. Oh, well, you know what? Even no one knows.
It turns matter into energy, and then it transports it, and then it turns energy back into matter.
Huh. Okay, well, let me ask you a series of obvious questions about... No, don't. No.
Oh, please do not have any more questions about
this. I need you to get all the way off my back about that.
Well, all right, then.
For him to be like, well, doesn't that just mean you could make as many copies of anyone as you wanted to, or just make new guys? Nope, can't do that.
Nope. I get that maybe the Federation has an ethical thing against that, but couldn't, like, your unethical enemies just decide, all right, well, let's just, like, duplicate our best soldiers?
Yeah, why would anyone ever go down an away mission instead of just cloning themselves down there?
Yeah, just be like, all right, beam me down to the away mission. And by that, I mean beam a version of me down to the away mission. And then once they're done, murder it.
Well, I guess there's your problem right there.
Yeah.
So, except we have to create a version who knows they're going to get murdered and is cool with it. Can you do that? Well, I am assembling them particle by particle, so yes.
Yeah, but... they don't know how to do that. They're like, oh, we can reassemble how they were, but we can't just fuck with where the molecules are and expect things to go our
way.
It's
cool. You just need to change how Starfleet works to the point where everyone constantly expects to die all the time.
I mean...
So,
you'd know that if you were like, oh, I'm one of the bridge officers, and if you ever were like, why am I down on a planet? Oh, shit.
No, god damn
it. Oh, no, I'm one of the clones. Ah, god damn it.
Well, I better do the thing, or else I'll just send another me down that will.
And then you look over, and there's like 7 dead yous, and you're like, oh, okay.
All right.
I get it.
I see how this works. I'll build my own transporter out of dead me's.
Yeah, so... Nightcrawler has to be like, oh, no, that's not how my shit works at all. Professor X told me how it actually works. And, of course, Geordi's like, the fuck is Professor X? Because apparently they didn't have the rights to put him in the last comic book, and not this one either.
And they didn't feel like asking them anything about their structure or anything when they were going on their fun adventures.
Yeah, so he has to be like, Professor X is the best, most powerful telepath on Earth, and he also saved us X-Mans.
And depending on who's writing him, he's either the most benevolent angel of a human ever, or a weird creep.
Some kind of a weird asshole, or just the best saint.
Yeah.
You know, eh.
Depends on who's writing him, so... he's a mixed bag. Let's just say
Professor X is a land of contrast.
Thank you. So Geordi's like, oh, so you go into another dimension and then pop out at the other, but the time moves differently in the other dimension. That's how it is.
It's like, oh yeah.
As far as I know,
when I go into another dimension, I don't have any recollection of being there,
mm-hmm.
but apparently I move through this other dimension's space and then reappear somewhere else.
Yeah. And Geordi's like, well, hey, maybe that's how our warp engines work. I don't know for sure that the ship doesn't smell like brimstone when it comes out of warp.
Well, yeah, he's like, oh, that's sort of like going into subspace. Of course, I don't think our ship smells like brimstone when it comes out, but who's been outside to smell it? So I don't know.
Hey, Data, come here for a second.
Can you get outside?
I'm going to strap you to the hull. Data's like, well, I'm willing to do that for now because I haven't died in the continuity yet. But when I do, it'll be because I jumped out of the ship.
But when I do,
I'll enjoy it. He doesn't die there. He dies and he blows up the scimitar at the end of Nemesis. But still, moving on. Okay.
Yeah, so...
The test is... Geordi wants him to teleport while he's pointing a tricorder at him.
Yeah, he's like, all right, I want to figure out what's going on with you. We're going to run some tests and Nightcrawler, again, is 1,000% on board for this. He's like, fuck yeah, do whatever you want to do, man.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, okay, teleport. And he bamps out of existence. There's some brimstone smell.
Mm-hmm.
And then he bamps back in, like, across the room.
Yeah. And Geordi's like, whoa, you're right. You definitely completely didn't exist for a fraction of a second. And now you're back in, whoa, check out my readings. You're completely covered in Verderon particles.
I'm sorry. I'm Nightcrawler. What the fuck is a Verderon? Oh, I'm sorry. It has to do with subspace. I'm sorry. I'm Nightcrawler. What the fuck is subspace? You can't just technobabble at me, Geordi. I'm a person.
You're right. I'm sorry. It's imagine putting too much air in a balloon. Let me fold this piece of paper and poke a pencil through it.
Thank you.
Okay, there we go.
Now I get it.
Oh, is that all it is? You fold a piece of paper and poke a pencil through it, but with space. Okay, I gotcha.
Oh, I am on board. Now, how do we get to the upside down?
And in summation, you're basically covered in pencil shavings.
In summation, you're a land of contrasts.
Okay.
So yeah, Geordi has to keep being like, oh, sorry, yeah, I forgot I can't just techno babble at people like I can in the Star Trek universe.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to explain like, oh, Verderons are subatomic particles in subspace. What's subspace? A spatial phenomenon where we get to move faster than light. Okay, great. And what the fuck is so interesting about this?
Well, it means that you do have some sort of subspace interaction when you bamp through another dimension.
Like, we're not certain if you're going through subspace like we are, but it might be a similar type situation.
Mm-hmm.
So Geordi's just sort of like, huh, weird.
I've always kind of figured that Nightcrawler basically uses the safe version of Event Horizon grade warp technology, right?
I mean, because runs past some demons and is like, peace.
Well, he never remembers it. And nothing bad ever happens to him, but I feel like he's just briefly in hell. Why else does it smell like brimstone?
Well, that is a question.
Yeah,
that
I'm sure that some comic book, probably by Fabian Nicieza or whatever, has answered.
I'm sure someone has answered it and mm-hmm. been like, ooh, we did a comic where we went into the dimension that Nightcrawler travels through
mm-hmm.
and found out all the dumb crap that's there.
Yeah, it turned out
it's
Mystique
a shadow
is there.
Dimension.
Yeah.
A bug dimension.
It's a shadow dimension. The Shadow King is the king of it.
Oh, that's weird, because normally he's just in a psychic place.
Yeah, it's the same place, it turns out.
It turns out he jumps into psychic space and then jumps out again.
It turns out that every X-Man who accesses a different dimension, it's the same dimension.
It's I just jump through the punch dimension.
It's just that they have, like, continents in there and stuff. So there's one continent that's just punch.
Yeah, there's the punch energy dimension.
Uh-huh.
And it's the same thing as the brimstone teleport dimension,
mm-hmm.
but it's just the southern hemisphere is part of that.
Yeah. And also, whenever Charles goes to the psychic plane, it's just also there.
Yeah, astral projection is really just wandering around a version of the punch dimension.
And I'm going to try for a second to think of any other X-Men. Havoc. Oh, does Havoc access a dimension for his shots, too?
Havoc is the same thing as Cyclops in that he shoots beams out of himself, probably from a dimension, although my eyes are portals to another dimension is one person's dumb bullshit.
Okay.
So,
all right. The rest of them just say it's a mutation and just
yeah,
move
they're
on
like,
with it.
He just shoots lasers and it's based on solar energy.
But is the punch guy, a punch dimension eyes guy, an important some guy's bullshit? Is it Claremont?
I don't think it's Claremont, but it is someone who
is
was
Fabian?
Important. No.
Okay.
But yeah, so...
I've run out of X-Men people I can name.
So Nightcrawler
Perez?
At that point is like, all right, so does that mean I could, if this is subspace, like, jump to another world? Could I just hang out in subspace and go like, oh, I... warp nine myself to some other planet?
Yeah, probably, although I would not recommend it because of galactic expansion and the fact that you don't know anything about orbital mechanics. You are very likely to just end up in space.
Also, you would need some sort of propulsion going through subspace to do it, because apparently
I don't see why. He teleports from place to place.
Yeah.
He obviously has some kind of propulsion unit.
Well, the thing that he's saying is you can teleport sort of from place to place under your own power, but going from like planet to planet would probably require some sort of propulsion.
Now, is that true? I that suggests that whenever Nightcrawler teleports, he like jumps And yeah. then kind of
he is actually like physically moving through space in another dimension.
Like he jumps and then he bamfs and then he lands where he was going, but only because of the momentum he had going into his teleport in the first place. But I'm sure I've seen him do stuff that indicates that he isn't doing that.
Oh no, he can definitely teleport from like, oh, I'm going from this ship to that other ship way farther than I would be ever be able to move to.
Yeah.
But Geordi in the book is saying you would need some sort of propulsion to go from like star system to star system using your power. Because normally Nightcrawler's a, like, I've got maybe a couple miles max distance that I could do.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, well, maybe you can only do that because you're moving under like your own power. But if you had some propulsion system, then maybe that would work.
Yeah, that could well be. Let's just give him a jetpack and check.
Yeah, that honestly is the first thing that came to my mind when he said that is I'm like, oh, give him a jetpack and make him teleport with it and see if he comes out somewhere weird.
Let's give him roller skates.
We're going to give Nightcrawler some Heelys and let him see if he can get somewhere.
Now you want to try and jump to a nearby planet? Here's a pogo ball. That's pretty much all that's going on with them.
Well, yeah, the other thing is, because he's like, oh, this is weird particles and nonsense, Nightcrawler's like, does that mean this might be my fault?
Oh,
that,
right.
Like, because of my teleportation powers and the weird particles and whatnot, I could have fucked up the time hook? And Geordi's like, maybe. I mean, I'm Geordi, fucking anything's possible.
It's like putting too much air in a balloon.
Oh, it gets big?
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to try and get some kind of boost or something. Don't worry about it.
Look, we're going to deflect the Verderons off the deflector shield and invert the tachyon stream.
I'll release a concentrated polaron burst, and then I'll eject the warp core, and it'll be fine.
Look, we're going to ignite the plasma on the warp stream on the left-hand side.
I'll initiate a burst of Tetrion emissions, and next thing you know, you'll be home.
Look, all I'm going to do is I'm going to have a stream of nocturnal emissions. A thick, ropey stream.
Gross.
Anyway, if we go back
like,
to Eren.
If it feels like we're playing for time, it's because we are. These chapters are they're slim on the bone.
Ah, same.
Yeah, not true.
Oh. Anyway,
science may someday prove you have bones.
And then I'll open a restaurant about it.
God damn it.
Goddamn in jokes.
All right, let's do this thing.
All right,
what's
so
up
we
with
go
Arid?
Back to Arid.
Yeah.
Arid currently is coming out of the mess hall. They're going to go outside, and no one has seen Rahatan or Layden or Dinara since the incident.
Mm-hmm.
No one's sure if they're just confined to quarters or
perhaps
if they're
been
like
killed,
dead or banished or something, but no one knows what's going on with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so Arid is just like, man, that's fucked up.
Yeah, no, that's not cool. This has gone beyond what everyone thought it was, which was a kind of, oh shit, we have no other choice but to put you in here, but we're going to treat you like people scenario to a, no, now we're in superpower prison.
Yeah, like before it was, we're just trying to keep you away from the major population in case something goes wrong. But now it definitely is like, we are in a prison. We are just not allowed to have freedoms and everything is balls. And they might just kill us if they think we're too dangerous.
Plus, the guards have gotten to the point where they're like scared of them and reacting accordingly. So it's gotten all Stanford experiment in here. And that's not working for Arid. He's grumpy about it. When he gets contacted in his cell, weirdly, not by Paul Dool the psychic, but
well,
by...
Well, no, not in his cell. They're outside.
Oh, they're outside again? God, yeah. I keep thinking they're in their rooms.
Why do you think that?
Because
they're
wanna...
always outside.
Because I like their rooms.
I like these rooms.
I like to hear more about these rooms in the castle. The bathroom situation?
How do you piss?
Mutatiously.
How do you piss to an angel?
I guess you wait till the angel cups its hands? I don't know.
Also, pissing to someone is an interesting concept that I would not like to explore.
Second, check out my AO3 account for more details.
So, he is then contacted by Korba. Korba we met briefly last episode, and
only getting
she's
a mention.
A speedster.
Yeah, she's a speedster, and she has the annoying in-fiction speedster thing where they've removed the space bar element when writing her dialogue.
Yeah. Oh, she's a speedster, so she talks real fast.
Mm-hmm.
And to simulate talks real fast, we've removed all spaces from the things that she says.
Yes, it does create some amusing situations where
you find dumb words
you
in there.
You find new words. I love that game. I'm sorry, did you just say ape penis? I did. No, I didn't. So basically, we have to deal with this woman who has the power of the Micro Machine Man.
And she's like, hey, Aerid, what's going on? I'm definitely not conspiring with you. And, you know, he has to look around and go, all right, well, you know, plenty of other people are talking out in the yard. It's not like the guards are looking specifically at them. But she's pretty much just going like, hey, you want to talk? You want to find out about throwing the government over?
Yeah, so it turns out that there's a kind of a fomenting of unrest that's happening between the various folks, and they're using their superpowers to kind of discuss it amongst themselves. Almost everyone's involved.
Yeah, Paul Dool is like, Korba says, oh, I talked to Paul Dool. He's talked to Rahatan, who is still in his cell.
Mm-hmm. So we know now that Rahatan is not dead, yeah, but is just locked up in his cell. And the same is true of Dinara and Layden.
Yeah. So she's like, yeah, we all hate what's going on here. We hate the fact that we're confined to where we are and that we're basically just being treated like crap just because we happen to mutate. And that's why Rahatan did what he did, because he's trying to show us that we're still people. And
yeah. And now this gives Aerid the desire to look around, and he sees that they've trucked in more guards.
Oh, yeah. There's way more people up on the walls.
Parapets.
And there are like two new mutants,
mm-hmm,
but like 30 new guards.
Yes.
So like, oh, this is completely improportionate from what's actually going on. They don't need that many more to guard the new arrivals. It's just Rahatan freaked them out, and the government was like, well, here, have a whole bunch more dudes.
Yeah. So they're like, well, now's definitely the time to strike. Before they get even more guards in here, they can't stop us if we all
they
use
They can't
our-
stop all of us. Let's see them aliens.
Yeah. So I'm going to put you on the Naruto runners with me, because I'm the fastest Naruto runner, obviously.
Exactly. I'm going to lead the Naruto runners. You lead all the Kyles with their energy drinks.
Perfect.
So yeah, she's like, look, Rahatan is, he wants to break out.
Yeah.
And we are pretty much have everyone on board at this point.
And we could break out anytime we want to. We have enough powers, and we know enough people's powers at this point to easily formulate plans.
Yeah. It's like, look, we're going to have to, if you're on board, we will use you, because you're a dude that has ridiculous power lasers, and you can shoot them from all of your fingertips, which means you can get some fucking spread on that shit.
Yeah, no,
if you
cast
are
color
with
spray,
us, we will be super great.
Yeah, can you come? Will you come with us and color spray out fans of things that hit 3 to 5 kobolds?
Hell yeah, I will.
Yeah, so he reluctantly agrees after hearing that everyone else has already more or less gotten involved.
And the problem with that is, like, I've got two choices here, and both of them kind of suck. Because
mm-hmm,
one, if I go along with this and break out, I'm pretty much turning my back on society. If they get a hold of me, they will want to either imprison me again or exile me.
Yeah.
Like, if I go along with this prison break, there's a good chance that I'd no longer get to be part of Zhaldian society.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if I don't, I don't know that I ever will be part of Zhaldian society, and I will have turned my back on the only people that will probably accept me from now on.
I feel like he'll be fine, because he just needs to figure out which species of aliens is purple and just move to their planet, because don't worry, their planet will also be selected chunks of Southern California.
Ooh, more scrubland.
Ooh, look at these potato chippy hills.
Yeah, so he basically goes aboard because he's like, I mean, if everyone is going to break out, I have to go along with them, because
yeah,
they're the only people that will accept me.
Yeah, plus, if everyone breaks out and you just sat in your cell the whole time, it's not like they're going to be like, good, you're one of the good ones. You're on our side now. They'll be like, oh,
you're a credit to your race.
They'll just be like, you're still a flight risk. We're going to be mean to you now.
Oh, yeah. It's, oh, you didn't leave. We will lock you down, though.
Yeah. Because now we know that it's a liability not to. So
that or just take them somewhere and be like, yeah, we're going to interrogate you and try and figure out where they went or what they're doing.
Yeah, so it's better to go with the pack here. And he does the math and he comes to the conclusion that, yeah, he's kind of in. I think he's back.
So, yeah, that's where that ends. That is all of our chapters.
Yeah. There's
so we've set up the Mutant Rebellion, and we have also figured out that apparently the X-Men like just having a nice chat.
Oh, yeah. The X-Men stuff is rough right now. It's going to take a while in this book before we get to a point where they do anything. But
God, I'm so glad that this Zhaldian stuff is there, because if all we had read so far was the non-Planet X stuff, ooh, baby, this would be god-awful.
It turns out that the Enterprise and the X-Men get along the crew of the Enterprise and the X-Men get along famously.
I mean, the Enterprise probably gets along with them pretty well.
Yeah.
I'd assume if, like, Cypher or Warlock was there, they'd get along fine.
I mean, there is that one episode where the Enterprise becomes sentient of its own accord.
Yeah.
So maybe that happens, and then they have to talk to one of the X-Men who has language powers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Cypher or Warlock. Good
hey.
Choices. Great picks.
Fucking I know my shit.
Yeah. I feel like Forge might also be able to figure out how to talk to
it. Well, I mean, he could build a thing to talk to it.
Yeah.
He's like, look, I made a headpiece thing, and it lets me talk to your ship.
When life what? Gives I- Forge lemons.
He forges lemons out of them.
He's the one who'll forge a lemon that burns your house down.
God damn it, Forge. You've got too much stuff.
He does. Forge is one of the characters I know the least about.
He has the most ill-defined powers of... What do you have?
Super invention.
I can invent things. How is that a mutant power?
And then one time they gave him magic because he's Native American.
Yeah, they're like, oh, also he knows magic. Yeah. And he can do magic.
Like, when I was a kid for Christmas, my parents or grandparents, I forget which, would buy me these packs of random X-Men comics that they sold in like Sears catalogs or whatever. It was just like 5 X-Men comics that are from like 6 months ago, and we just put them all together.
Oh yeah,
and they don't match to anything, and it's just
no. Those were the best when you go to some comic store and they'd be like, "Here's a grab bag of 20 comics."
Yeah. Well, the only time I got one that had Forge in it. Besides, I did buy a trade of the X-Factor stuff once, like the early X-Factor stuff, but. I got this weird comic where we were hanging out with Forge and Storm because they were dating at the time,
mm-hmm.
and Forge lived in an invisible house.
Yeah, well,
that was very confusing as a one-off thing to come into. Forge lives in a big invisible house. He knows where everything is, but no one else does. And Storm's trying to live there in the invisible house.
I live in a big invisible bed with my wife.
I have a race car house.
Yeah, Forge is definitely one of those from the same era of like all the Liefeld things was, what powers do you have? They're ill-defined, but I'm a badass. Like, please just give them a distinct power.
I have one glowing eye, so you don't have to draw my face evenly.
Great.
In case that was a problem for some artist I might mention.
I've got a metal leg, so you should put that one first, so if it looks weird, just know that it's because it's metal.
I have like 600 teeth.
Too many teeth. Anyway, that is the end of our chapters. I am hoping that, like, I want to take bets right now on how long it takes us to actually get to Planet.
Oh, when anything happens? I mean, because they're not even going anywhere near Zhaldia yet. They're still just going to the Klingon conference.
Yeah, they're still on their way to a conference right now. Like, how much more? I know I'm going to say at least... Next episode, they aren't going to. I'm going to say at least 2 more episodes before they actually manage to be like, oh, hey, we heard that there's a planet. And then probably the next episode, they'll get to it.
Yeah, and the planet's name starts with an X, you say? Well, that's definitely a bad sign.
Well, that's a good thing you've got us.
That's how you get mutants. Oh, by the way, we come from the planet Xerth.
I don't know if we've mentioned this. The X is silent.
It doesn't come up very often in the Marvel continuity, but yeah, it's Xerth 616 that we're... actually, I do wonder what the specific dimension continuity it is for these particular X-Men.
Well,
I don't think it's 616, or they would have mentioned it.
I mean, I guess
these are the X-Men.
Voyages of the Star Trek Enterprise.
These are the X-Men who met the Starship Enterprise. They're
different. The Star Trek Enterprise.
The Star Trek Enterprise. Yeah, all right. Well, anyway, that's what's up. It's still wheel spinning. Hard wheel spinning.
Hell yeah.
But we got a long way to go, so stick with us, and we will make it to the end of this book together. We're a team.
And we've got so much more to talk about, but only if you're a patron. On patreon.com/systemmaster, you can hear, ooh, our bonus content.
$2 an episode, or if you donate or pledge $2, it ends up being about $4 a month. That's pretty much standard. And you unlock 4 bonus episodes of Expounded Universe a month. It's crazy.
Yeah, you get
more
ton
stuff.
Of content.
Yeah.
We talk about a bunch of shit. We talk about stuff with system mastery.
Right now, what we're doing is we have Memory Alpha and Memory Beta at our disposal, plus the X-Men fandom wiki, and we use them to dig up stories of ephemera and curiosities to tell each other and you, the listener.
Indeed.
It's a good deal. You're not going to find a better deal in podcast entertainment, except for all those free ones. Don't worry about that.
And if you find a better deal anywhere, fuck it.
Hey,
I'm glad you went there
from
with
dust
me.
Till dawn.
Hey, you and me, we've been working together.
Simpatico.
We might see eye to eye on some things.
I don't hate it at all.
I don't hate that every time I make a joke, you're also making it.
Or I made it a second ago. All right. Well, that's patreon.com/systemmastery. Stop on by and give us $2. It'd be a great help, and it would let us keep doing what we do.
All right. Thank you so much. I'm the best there is at what I do.
And what I do is go get some fucking apple bread.